It is such a joy to be here with you tonight. I love this church. My parents, as you know, are members of this church. My grandmother, and tonight as we were coming in, Brother Donald King offered Pastor Weaver $100 to get to introduce me. And I told him you ought to take him up on it. I told Pastor Weaver that Brother King doesn't know anything about me that my grandmother and wife and children and cousins and many of you seated here. My Sunday school teacher from when I was 3 years old is seated here in the auditorium. I mean, I got to be careful up here, folks. But it is such a joy to be with you. I'm going to ask Heather to come on up at this time. And I'm going to ask her to help me if she would. While she's coming, I want to say thank you, Worth Baptist Church, for sending your pastor down to our conference every year. As he said, it's not just about playing and games and so forth. I'll tell you this, he made a great sacrifice this year. He did not even go sail fishing. I mean, that's a sacrifice, folks. There he was, surrounded by golf courses, never went golfing. He had all kinds of opportunities to do things. We were in church, the best I could figure out, an average of 10 hours a day. Now, for some of you, that would be painful, but we enjoyed it. It was a blessing. It really was. Heather, if you'll come up here to the microphone, please. Or just get close to me. Bikashti le beti lazorli hayom ba'erev.
My dad asked me to help me tonight.
Ki ani rotze ledaber itchem.
Because I want to talk to you.
Aval ani yakol ledaber anglit.
But he can't speak English.
Aval ani lo rotze ledaber anglit akshav.
But he doesn't want to speak English right now.
Elohim kotev et hatanach be'ivrit ube'yavanit.
God wrote the Bible in Hebrew and in Greek.
Vehu ladat et ze alenu.
And he wrote this for us.
Ve anachnu tzrichim lakachat et ze ve letargem et ze bekol safot.
And we need to take this and translate this into all the languages.
Elohim yakol ledaber kol safot.
God can speak all the languages.
Aval hu rotze lehishtamesh bal levanim shelo.
But he wants to use his servants.
Ve ha banim shelo.
And his children.
Anachnu lo yakolim ledaber kol asafot.
We can't speak all the languages.
Aval yesh אנשים כשיכולים לתרגם לתנ"ך לכל שפות.
But there is people who can translate the Bible into all the languages.
צריך לעזור אתכם לדעת איך לתרגם את זה. צריך לעזור אתכם, ללמד אתכם לדעת איך לתרגם את התנ"ך.
We need to teach people how to translate the Bible.
Kol haolam tzrichim ladat ma Elohim katav.
All the world needs to know what God wrote.
Toda rabba.
Thank you.
See, our Lord could have given us the Bible in English. He could have done that. But he chose to use his children. Tonight, I could speak to you in English, and I could have told you that in English. But I delight in using my children as well. And God wants to use you. One of the things that I have found, and I shared this at the conference in Acapulco last week, is that children learn languages much easier than adults do. Some of us would like to be able to speak other languages, and perhaps we've even studied them at some time in the past, but it's much easier if you'll start young. And a challenge that I would like to give to you is to teach your young children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren languages from the time they are small children. Teach them Russian and Chinese, Korean. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Bill, we live in the United States of America. Well, that's absolutely true. But the last time I checked here in the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area, you can hear people speaking just about everything. If you don't believe me, go to the grocery store after church tonight. See if you can understand what people are saying all around you. I mean, I was at a store today, I heard someone speaking in Arabic. I sure did. I heard someone speaking in Pashto. Believe it or not, in Pashto. I heard someone speaking in Hindi just a couple of days ago. Well, actually, yesterday I heard all kinds of people speaking Spanish. I was in Mexico yesterday morning. But if we will teach our children other languages from the time they're young, we prepare their minds to do something that otherwise they can't do. See, the Word of God has been translated into many languages. Praise the Lord for that. It's been translated into right at 400 languages. But that's not very much when you consider that there are nearly 6,600 languages that do not have a translation of the Word of God. I mean, they've never seen the New Testament. They've never been able to pick up the Bible like you can and take it to church with you. Imagine what your life would be like without God's Word. Sadly, for some people, it wouldn't change it at all, because they never read the Bible. But I think I'm speaking to a group tonight that does read their Bible. I think I'm speaking to people tonight that have been reading their Bible, and most of you have probably read from Genesis to Revelation several times. I believe when you go through a time of trial or crisis in your life, you look to God's Word and praise the Lord for that. There's a lot of people that don't do that. I want to encourage you with that. Tonight I'd like for you to open your Bibles, if you would, with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Thank you, Pastor Weaver, for the opportunity and invitation to preach tonight. And we're going to shift directions here. Pastor Weaver asked me if I would be willing to have Ryan come over, and I knew that he would be very uncomfortable wearing blue jeans and tennis shoes and a sweatshirt to stand up here in front of all of you. And I thought that perhaps you all wouldn't mind if my daughter Heather did that. And Heather, thank you for doing a good job. Matthew chapter 6, and let's all stand if you would. We're going to read verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. By the way, the language that I was speaking was Hebrew. Some of you may not have caught that, but my daughter had the opportunity to study Hebrew, actually all of our family, in Israel during this last year. We praise the Lord for studying the language of the Old Testament. It was a blessing. It was awesome. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that I have tonight of preaching your word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me this evening. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. And Lord, that you would help us to see your purpose in what you give to us, Lord. Father, that you have a purpose in our laying up treasures in heaven. And Lord, help us to catch a vision of what we can do. In your name I pray, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As a missionary, one of the dangerous things that we sometimes speak about is giving. Because whenever you talk about giving, people sometimes kind of start to cringe. I don't know if you've noticed, but on Sunday morning, when you're about to get up and you're starting to fill out your tithe check and your envelope and everything like that, you ever noticed your hand starts hurting? You know, it's kind of like, I think maybe I'll wait till next week to write this thing out. And you start to put it in the offering plate, and as the offering plate goes by and the envelope gets put in there, you almost feel like saying, bye, see you later. Well, I'll tell you what. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7 says. And by the way, that is in the context of an offering which was given to the furtherance of the gospel. It was a missions offering which was being given there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. The Bible teaches us that we should lay up treasures in heaven. We should make an investment that counts for all of eternity. And tonight, what I would like to encourage you is from the Bible how that we can make a greater investment for eternity. Now, this is not something that I learned yesterday. To be honest with you, this is something I learned from my dad, and I've heard this type of a message preached all of my life. But tonight, I want to encourage you with a few words that we find in Scripture, with some principles that we find in Scripture, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to your heart. Now, before I begin, let me try to set the stage just a little bit on this. All of us have been given something by God. The fact that every person in this auditorium has clothes on means that God gave you something. From where I stand and look out at you, it doesn't look like anybody is dying of starvation. Matter of fact, the majority of us are looking for a good diet program that we can do a 1, 2, 3, eat everything we want and still lose all the weight. I mean, it doesn't work that way, but that's what we would like. The fact is we've been blessed. As you go out and look in the parking lot, I would tell you that in churches today, I see nicer cars than at any time that I can remember. And I've been going to church for the last 37 years, ever since I was born. And the fact is we're blessed. We sit in a beautiful auditorium. Praise God for what he has done here at Worth Baptist Church. I mean, the remodeling program, folks, this has been great. I praise the Lord, and I congratulate you on the sacrifices that you have made through the journey of faith in helping this to come to pass. But as we look at what God has given to us, are we aware that everything we have came from God? I mean, have you ever thought about that? I mean, everything you've got has come from God. Now, tonight I'm going to do a little bit of a visual, and I hope that you'll forgive me for this, but I need four men to come up and help me, if that's at all possible. I need two to stand on this side and two to stand on that side. Can I get four men to come up here, four men that won't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and help me out, and don't mind looking like a fool? You're not going to look like a fool. I'm going to help you out, all right? Two on this side and two on this side. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. Now, I'm going to do a dangerous thing. I'm going to take out my wallet. All right, and each one of these men, and I didn't ask them to stand in any position, but the Lord just kind of led them to stand in those positions. Each one of these men represent somebody, all right? Now, this gentleman over here, can I get your name, please?
John.
Your name is God.
No,
for tonight.
No,
tonight, he is going to take the place of God. And so, God is the owner of everything. Would we agree with that? Now, let's get over here a little bit closer in the middle, all right? And I'm going to give this to you because God owns everything. Would we agree with that? Does he own everything?
Amen.
Everything. All right. Very good. We had just had a switch over there. All right. Now, as the owner of everything, God gets to give to his children what he wants to. Would we agree with that? God gives you what he wants to give you. He could give you a lot more. He could give you a lot less. He's given you health. He's given you a job. He's given you wisdom. He's given you lots of things. And so God's given you a lot of things. And praise the Lord for that. Now, right here we have, this is a Christian. He is a layman. He works in, he worships the Lord. He tithes. He wants to serve the Lord. And God has been good to him. And so I'm going to ask God, Brother John, if he'll open up that billfold and if he will take out something and give it to my dear brother right here. Would you just, anything you want, it's up to you. Now, can you buy anything with a Costco card? I mean, that is not a credit card, folks. That's a Costco card, best I can tell. Can you buy anything with that?
Nope.
No, can't buy anything with that. Now, what do we do when we need more than what we have? We ask God, don't we? And so you have to ask him to give you some more. It's free game. You can take anything out of there you want to. All right? So he's going to give him $5. Now, you have a wife?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have children, grandchildren?
Yes.
Do you have expenses?
Oh, yes.
Do you have an electric bill due this month?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Do you need more than $5?
Sure do.
I'd go back and ask him for some more. Now, as this works out, you see, you better give him some more.
Go get a job.
He has a job.
Okay, I love you. Hold
now,
on,
now, see that? Wow, here he goes. He gave him $3 more. No. Everything we get comes from God. All right, now watch this. Over here we have a missionary. This is a missionary right here. He's God's servant. God has sent him out to do a job. This missionary would like to go to other places. He would like to buy more materials, more tracts, more Bibles. Where does he get his money from? He gets it from the church, from churches. Where does the church get their money from? They get the money from lay people who go out and get a job and have to work for their income. Now, my brother, you've got expenses of your own as well. So you can't give 100% of what God gives you to the missionary. Now, we might perhaps want to. We have to make a decision. How much can I give to help support missions? And so literally every week, or perhaps once a year, or however you do it personally, you sit down and you think, now what can I do to help God's word get around the world? And so I would like to ask you to make a decision, and then based on that decision, to give God's servant something to help in God's work. So would you do that? All right, now he just gave him $10. Now, even God said it was generous. I mean, Brother John.
Indeed.
I want you to notice something. When God's man receives something from God's child who gets it from God, he's still responsible back to God for how he uses this investment. But he is limited in his scope and in his outreach by what's being received. In the same way that a church could have many more ministries if funds were not a limitation, same thing's true of the missionary on the field. Now, this gentleman over here, he's lost. As a matter of fact, he's without Christ. He's godless. He doesn't look godless, but even the devil knows how to dress up. And here we find a man who is deep in sin and needs to be saved. The only way that God's servant can get to the lost is if there's this flow of funds coming to God's servant. Can you see that? You see, every missionary that I know wants to do more. I've talked to missionaries that say, I've got this little village. Boy, I'd really like to get something started there. We just can't do anything right now. I've got this project I'd really like to get started, but we just can't do it right now. And really, it all depends on how we allow God to give through us. See, God does not expect us to keep 100% of what he gives us. He expects us to be a channel whereby things can go to other people. And I think we sometimes need to be a little more aware of God's expectations. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your help. Y'all can go back and be seated. Appreciate that. Thank you. Now, let's look at a few verses in God's word concerning giving, and then we'll be finished. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. If you would, please turn in your Bible there to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Paul is speaking here to the church in Corinth, and he is telling them about a church that is in Macedonia. Now, Philippi was the capital of the state of Macedonia. And let's see what he says. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, that is, we make known to you, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now here we find a church that desired to help God's people, the ministering to the saints, this fellowship. It was a financial contribution, and they were going to give the money to the missionary, to Paul. And they desired to do this, but they were poor. As a matter of fact, they were so poor that they were in extreme poverty, this verse tells us. And yet, in that position of extreme poverty, they had abundant joy, and it produced a liberal generosity. And the Bible calls that whole process the grace of God. Notice again, verse number 1, that's what it says. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And so it's God's grace. Watch this now. The picture of God's grace is made up on God's part in sending his son to this world. On our part, it is made up of our telling others and helping others so that they can tell others of what God has done for us. When you tell someone how to get saved, you are stepping into the picture of God's grace. When you help a servant of the Lord go to a foreign country, you are stepping into the picture of God's grace. I mean, this is fantastic, folks. Measly old us, we get to have a part in the grace of God reaching around the world. That is an awesome thought. And we have this privilege because God has given us this opportunity. You and I are in a church tonight that heavily supports missionaries. In front of you, you have some offering envelopes. Some of you have offering envelopes in your home. You can take these and you write down something and you put in a category, missions. And then you put that in the offering. And then that money is sent out literally all around the world. Tonight, we have a list here on our prayer list. I was looking over this. The member missionaries. Just the member missionaries. We're not even talking about all the other folks. This is just members of Worth Baptist Church. What an incredible ministry that these people have. Now watch this. This church needs to be the kind of church that they can duplicate wherever they are. You need to be the kind of Christians that they need to hope that they're going to get in their churches. You see, we do have a part. You have a personal part in helping the gospel to get literally around the world. Now, there's a few prerequisites for being able to give this type of offering, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. First prerequisite, you may not like this, I hope you do. Number 1, church membership. Can I tell you something? You cannot give biblically to a missionary unless you are a member of a church. And I'm saying biblically. Never once do you find an exception to this rule. This offering was given by a church. It was not given by an individual. It was given by a church. Praise the Lord for that. If you are a member of this church, as you give through this church, God's blessings will be upon that. I highly discourage anyone trying to give to missions that is not under the authority, the umbrella, the protection of a local church. I do not believe it is biblical. As you look in Scripture, you will find time after time after time, people who are giving gave to the church. The church then gave to the missionary. I believe that's a biblical principle. Let's look at a couple of other verses in the book of Acts, chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13, we find that there were some folks there serving in the church. The Holy Spirit showed up and said, I choose some of these. I want you to separate some of these out for some service. Notice what it says in verse number 1, Acts 13, 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, who was it that was sending them away? It was a church. Where were they when all this started? In the church. See, the church is the breeding ground for missionaries. In other words, the future missionaries of Worth Baptist Church are probably seated in the building tonight. Say, wait a minute, Brother Billy, not me. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but neither are you. The Holy Spirit seems to choose those people that are already doing something, that are already active. I mean, they're the ones that the pastor says, oh, no, not him. He's one of the best guys we got. On the contrary, I think your preacher would say, bless the Lord, praise God. He's going to go out and do a great job for the Lord. You see, God chooses people from within the church. Now notice what happens when they come back. Acts chapter 14, verse number 27. As they came back from this missionary journey, it says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now notice here that when they come back, who do they give the report to? To the church. You ever been to a stockholders meeting? I mean, where you weren't invited. I mean, where you didn't own stock in the company. I mean, you just said, I'm going to go to this party whether they want me or not. I don't think so. A stockholders meeting is where you have people who are going to find out what their investments are doing. And in the church is where a missionary is supposed to give his reports. Do you know why they write these little letters? Because it's biblical. Do you know why they send emails? Because it's biblical. Do you know why they come back and they tell the church what's going on in the respective fields where God has called them? Because it's biblical. It's not just some idea that somebody had a few years ago. That's what is written in the Word of God. And I think that's what we need to do. Notice furthermore in in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4 and verse number 15. Philippians 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, notice this, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And so it was a church. It was a church. Praise the Lord for this church. Praise the Lord for the people in this church. I happen to know that you support missionaries. I know that. I've heard about this church all my life. This church has been an incredible part of my family's being able to be on the mission field. Praise the Lord for this church. Praise the Lord for Dr. Barber. Praise the Lord for Dr. Weaver and the vision that they have had to continue this emphasis of missions in this church. I believe God's hand of blessing will be upon this church because of it. I really believe it with all my heart. Now watch this. Since missionaries are sent out through the church, they're supported by the church, they give reports back to the church, they need to be supported by people who are members of a church. Amen, Brother Billy. That's what the Bible teaches. So you want to give to missionaries? I'd encourage, number one, church membership. Number two, tithing. Man, I'm hitting all bad things tonight, aren't I? Nobody likes to hear about tithing. But let me tell you something. Tithing is a wonderful blessing. Let's look over at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 14, verse number 23. This verse teaches us the reason for tithing. In Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse number 23, we read, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn, notice, to fear the Lord thy God always. Can I tell you something? I think you probably already know this. Tithing teaches us the fear of God. Now, there are two words in Hebrew which refer to fear. One of them means to tremble, to cower, to hide with this abject fear in your heart and going, oh no, they're going to get me. That's not the word that's used here. The second word that's used for fear means a respect that produces obedience. You see, in that sense, I fear God. I respect God, and so I want to obey him. Can I tell you something about tithing? Tithing proves you respect God. A lack of tithing means you disrespect God. Tithing proves honesty. A lack of tithing proves dishonesty. You see, the Bible's very clear on tithing. Tithing is a commandment. Tithing is not a suggestion. Tithing is not a good idea. Tithing is a must if you are going to be right with God. But where does your tithe go? To the church. That's why we started with church membership. See, that's the first prerequisite. You've got to be a member of a church. Secondly, you have got to be obedient in tithing. It's necessary. Biblically, that is the way that God wants us to live. Number one, have the church membership, be a member of a local church, be tithing. Then we go on to the next step. The Bible tells us in the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, a very familiar verse. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. It says here, it's actually a verse in which we are taught to put God to the test. And it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Praise the Lord for meat. Y'all had any meat lately? Amen, that's right. We tithe, we get meat. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so here we see, folks, that if we will tithe, we're putting God to the test, and he will bless us as we tithe. Can I tell you something? Verse number 9 tells us that the person who doesn't tithe is cursed. Verse number 8 tells us that the person who doesn't tithe is a thief. Think about this. That means in Scripture we are taught that the person who doesn't tithe is disrespectful of God. Secondly, he's disobedient to God. Third, he's a thief. Fourth, he's cursed. I think that's a pretty strong indication that we ought to be tithing. And I hope every person in here is tithing. By the way, God blesses tithing. And then we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7 and verse number 8, concerning the tithe. This is fascinating to me. It says here, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Now watch this, folks. Here on earth, we're going to have a few men get up and they're going to take an offering plate in their hands and they're going to pass the plate in front of you and you will have the opportunity to give your tithe. But I want you to notice what this verse teaches us. As they receive the tithes here, God up in heaven is going, yep, 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 got that one. God up in heaven is watching what's going on. I tell you what, I think we ought to do what's right. We need to tithe. And so if we're going to give to missions, praise the Lord, it's a wonderful thing to do it. We've got a couple of prerequisites. We need to be members of a church. We need to be tithing. Now I want to finish with this. The Bible teaches us that there are many different types of offerings. Many different types of offerings. The Bible talks about the word tithe, and that means a 10%. The Bible talks about the word contribution in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 26. By the way, the word contribution there in Greek is the word koinonia. Some of you have studied Greek, and you know that that word can also be translated fellowship. It means partnership. It means coming together. That is the word contribution translated in Romans 15, 26. The word offerings used in Luke 21, 4 refers to gifts. Can you imagine, after all that God has given us, that we can give something back to him? That is incredible. That is fantastic. I can give a gift to another person, but to be able to give a gift to God, I mean, he doesn't need anything, but it is an honor to get to give something to him. And then we read in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, the word gift used there is the same word charis, which means grace. Imagine this. When we give a missionary offering, the Bible calls that grace. Wow! That means, once again, we're stepping into that picture of grace. Can I ask you folks a question? Have you ever thought, as you put that offering envelope in the basket or in the plate, that literally, as you're doing that, you are stepping into the picture, God's worldwide picture of grace? Your face shows up somewhere in that picture as you put that money in the offering. You say, Brother Billy, you trying to milk us for something? No, I'm not trying to milk you for anything. I'm praying God will bless you in a greater way than you can possibly imagine. I can honestly tell you tonight, I'm not asking for a dime. God knows my heart. But what I do know is this. As I have been faithful to practice this in my life, my God has been faithful to supply all of my need. By the way, Philippians 4:19, that's a promise, but it is a conditional promise. It is a conditional promise to a church that was practicing what we're talking about tonight. And that's why Paul told them, but, see, there's a reason for that word, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The reason for that little conjunction there at the beginning is to tie it in with what was going on before, and what was going on before was that they had just made a special offering to help out Paul. And that's why he used that conjunction to tie the whole thing together. God wants to bless us. Can I say this? Tithing proves our honesty, but giving to missions proves our love. So where do you find that, Brother Billy? We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 8:8 says this, I speak not by commandment. See, missions giving is not a commandment. Tithing is a commandment. It says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Now notice this. Notice what it says. And to prove the sincerity of your love. See, tithing is a commandment. It is absolutely a commandment. We have got to tithe if we're going to be right with God. But this type of giving to missions proves the sincerity of our love. Tithing proves our honesty. Giving to missions proves our love to God. And I'll tell you what, with all God's done for me, I want to make sure that I show him that I love him. And I love him a lot. Thank you, church. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would allow these words to sink down into the heart. Lord, I'm preaching to a church that you have greatly used. Lord, I thank you that you have used them in such a wonderful way. And Lord, I pray that these stumbling words tonight would be an encouragement to someone, perhaps someone who has kind of lost the vision of giving to missions, perhaps someone, Lord, who stopped tithing. Lord, I pray that you would help them to do what's right. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed.